I'm Brian McCreath at Symphony Hall with Yujo Wang, who has returned to the Boston Symphony with Shostakovich, both piano concertos this time, unlike last time when you did one of them, I think. So welcome back, and thanks for taking a little time to talk with me.
Of course, my pleasure.
So I'm interested in where these pieces fit into your musical life. Like, are these pieces you've lived with for a really long time, or are they more recent additions to your repertoire?
The number one, definitely for a very long time, I played with Marius Janssens. In Concertgebouw, that was the first time I played it. And I remember being like, it's not, the language is not Prokofiev or Rachmaninoff for me, or even Scriabin. It's Shostakovich for me. It's very mystified, actually. And not until I saw his own video of himself playing this concerto, which is like crazy amazing, actually crazy fast. And just like, what? I didn't hear any of the key changes. himself as being an amazing pianist. It kind of made me understand this crazy, obsessive, like just bang your head crazy. And the number two was recommended by MTT. And I remember play conducting with Mahler Chamber. And also for the reopening of the Carnegie Hall, I chose this one rather than the Rachmaninoff two, because it's just so lighthearted and so intimate, because he wrote it for his son that he really adores. And that's a side of Shostakovich that's just really Russian and familial.
You've already said some things that I was going to ask you about anyway, but just to follow up on how you hear this music, you mentioned crazy. And so when you play this, how are you taking that idea and channeling it into the keyboard? I mean, is it sort of like with the percussiveness of how you play or the speed? How do these things come out in the music?
Well, every time I take it up, it feels like there's another layer of dark humor come out. I mean, there's the oppressive side. Everyone knows the political part. But I think as a pianist, I mean, there's so much making fun of Beethoven, of Bach, of almost everything we know. And then the dialogue between, I mean, it's supposed to start with C major, and then the trumpet comes in a D flat. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then I play D flat major. Like, the first three measures is already like so much, so much messing around. And then there's kind of a parody of the Appassionato Sonata of Beethoven. And there's the Ridge Over Lost Penny in the last movement, Cadenza, we all hear that. And he actually made the fugue out of that. So it's just like he is, I don't know, I guess all this conservatory practicing and stuff, he just want to kind of overturn that system almost.
And you mentioned that you watched this video of Shostakovich himself playing it.
Right.
And what did that do for you? Does that feel like a more of a burden, or did it help you to understand some things about the piece and how to play it, or lead you to new directions with it?
Well, I started with Marius Janssens, where everything is very Russian, in a way, very heavy, and there's a lot of depth to it. And then the specific part was the cadenza of the last movement of the first concerto. I thought, I was so sure it was speeded up, because it was just so fast. It was like watching a Chaplin movie, And then I heard he gets nervous and he play faster. And then, there's that personal part when you see it. It's like, oh, he's probably at this piece, there's nothing serious about it. Everything is like a parody of something else. And I mean, unlike the second concerto, where everything is really sincere and from the heart. That was, I first heard it was a Fantasia.
The Disney movie.
Exactly. But the second movement is like the most beautiful thing. It's almost like there's all these sides of Shostakovich that he's hiding behind. And then I think second concerto is the one that we see the true tender side of him, which most people say he's actually just a shy, kind of quiet, childish, hide in that, but so much rebellions too, I guess. And I guess Freud wasn't really popular in Russia, so all the craziness come from, like, he written down in his music. Like sometimes it's hard. I mean, the first concerto for a while for me, it was like, huh? Like it was just every instant is a change of key, is a change of like, is chromatic, but not in terms of notes, but in terms of harmony.
When you were here before, you played Shostakovich's first, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether, Andras, like working with him sort of also brought you to new ways of doing particular things within either of these concertos.
Well, I hear his symphonies with Boston, which is a landmark of how they should be. We just played it in Leipzig and I played Extra Crazy. And then he said, I like the, it's like challenging the Soviet authority. Yeah, I think coming from Latvia, he has, especially the time we live in now, it definitely has a lot, he has a lot more to say with the emotional power this music brings.
When you hear about number two, written for his 19-year-old son, you might get the impression that the second concerto is easier than the first concerto for the soloist. Is that actually true?
Well, I played it play conducting. It was definitely easier with
that. You conducted it and played it at the same time?
Yeah, with Mahler Chamber. Yeah.
How did that go?
It was amazing because the piece itself is very metrical. It's not like the number one where there's lots of give and take rubato-wise. Yeah, this one is very rhythmical, except the third movement, there's a seventh. And then, but once I'm very clear musically, it was, the Mahler Chamber was amazing. So it was right on and is like super powerful in the very rhythmical way. Yeah. And then he incorporated Hanan.
Yeah, the Hanan exercises that all the pianists do when they're young students.
I remember doing them. I was like, well, I'm just learning Shostakovich concerto.
There you go. You can tell students that, right? That you're just learning Shostakovich concertos.
Yeah, but the second one is just the most beautiful thing. I mean, everything is, I think the way he's himself playing is so anti-sentimental. And I kind of really adore that. I mean, in his like not taking time, just completely poker face way of playing. But then it can have so many ways of interpreted. I remember with Marius Janssens, it was bringing out the Russianness, the folksy stuff, whereas I think Andras is much more like sewing machine.
I love that. That's a fantastic image. Sewing machine. Wow. Well, there was one moment in rehearsal where it was in the second movement, one of the slow parts anyway, where, you're mostly focused when you play looking at the keyboard, really, really focused right in front of you.
Yeah.
But at this moment, you actually turned and you looked into the hall while you were playing. And it kind of made me wonder for you, how much does the hall that you're in kind of seep into your playing and your experience of the moment? Or are you always just focused on that keyboard right in front of you?
No, the aura of the hall definitely is like a big energy field, right? And then, no, today was just, I haven't played for, I feel like I haven't played in a hall for a long time. I mean, I was in festivals in Europe for, and I just came back to America after 3 months. And then I just remember this hall being very emotional when I was 20, replacing Martha Argwish. And I was like, I can't believe it's this hall. So I was looking back. And yesterday I went to the Museum of Fine Arts and the Isabel.
The Gardner Museum. The
Gardner Museum. And then I started noticing those amazing sculptures in the hall, and also just played in Leipzig. I think this hall has some affinity with the Leipzig.
Yeah, this hall is sort of based on the hall that no longer exists in Leipzig,
right.
The old hall that got bombed in World War II.
Yeah, that. And then I went to the Mendelssohn House in Leipzig. And everything just kind of put together. I guess it was kind of like what Shostakovich did with the music. It's like, yeah, all the elements. And I just really, really adore the hall. And then, especially this week, it's going to be recorded. So in the hall, it's always something very emotional, yeah.
Yeah. Yuja Wong, it's so good to have you back in Boston, and especially for these two pieces. Yeah, thanks for taking a little time to talk with me today.
Thank you. It was amazing to play the Shostakovich with the Boston who recorded all the symphonies. You know, they just have it. Yeah, thank you.